Welcome to The Local Take with Kiplin Primus on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. This weekly public affairs program features dialogue and community engagement with leaders and organizations making a difference in the areas we serve.
Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this weekend before Thanksgiving, I reached out to Hosea Helps, WCLK's nonprofit partner and one of the oldest organizations in Atlanta that focuses on providing meals and more to people in our community facing food and home insecurity challenges. Hosea Helps is a mainstay, and they do it all with donations from the community. Elizabeth Omalami, welcome back to The Local Take.
Thank you so much, Kiplin. It's so good to be with you today.
Well, I am glad that you are here. Can you share with our listeners what is going on at Hosea Helps for this year's Thanksgiving holiday?
Yes, ma'am. Well, as you know, Hosea Helps is a charity that has been doing this kind of work for, this is our 50th anniversary, actually. 50 years since the first event for the homeless back in 1970, started by Reverend Hosea Williams, who was Dr. Martin Luther King's chief national field organizer. And he was walking down Auburn Avenue. Auburn Avenue, of course, was Atlanta's Tulsa. Atlanta's Wall Street, one of the richest streets in the city, and he saw a man eating out of a garbage can. And this was a couple of years after Martin Luther King was murdered, of course, and many of his staff members were just still in shock, wondering what would happen in their lives. And when he saw this man eating out of a trash can, he asked him, well, why are you eating out of a trash can on the richest street in possibly the Southeast? And he said that he hadn't eaten in 3 days. And something happened to Reverend Hosea Williams at that point. And he went inside the Yassin's Fish, which is still there, and bought him a fish sandwich to eat. And the man ate through the wax paper and the brown paper around the sandwich to get to the food. It was, as Reverend Williams described it, a desperate cry of desperation. And he started feeding the homeless, which then were primarily men, that Sunday at the Wheat Street Baptist Church. However, over the years, the face of homelessness has changed to women and children, to whole families. Here in Atlanta, there's an estimated 8,000 homeless on the street at any given time. And we have, since that day, consecutively fed the homeless on Thanksgiving Day. Now, it's not just food, because when you begin to work with the community, you find that there are many needs. They had a need for medical care. They had a need for clothing. They had a need for housing. They had a need for employment. And so we built in auxiliary services to the food to meet as many of those needs as we could. And this year, however, we will be doing a contactless homeless food delivery as well, as people who are working people who can drive through and get food boxes. It's a very unique year because the people that are coming to us are people never thought that they would be in that line. But I always tell everybody, don't be ashamed to take care of your family because it is there and is there for you to receive. So we'll be at the Georgia World Congress Center Thanksgiving Day from 10 until 2 with two different stations, one for people driving through and one for the unsheltered to walk up and receive food. And then, Kiplin, everybody will get hand sanitizer, gloves, masks, and PPE supplies, just to try to stave off the impact of COVID on these underserved communities.
Now, Thanksgiving is a few days away. You're saying that COVID has definitely impacted your outreach to the community. What are you looking for volunteers to provide this year? Is cash and money still the best thing? Do you need, you know, slightly used clothing? What are you all asking for?
Well, we are asking for people to go to our website, which is number 4hosea.org. And if there are any volunteer slots still available, they can register to volunteer there. I doubt it, because every year, as soon as we open up the website, it's full in just a few days. Especially for this year, there are less volunteers needed on Thanksgiving Day than we would normally use, because we will be outside in the parking lot doing this mass food distribution. However, we need volunteers today and every day between now and Thanksgiving Day, except for Sunday, I think, because we have to make up about 2,900 food boxes. And so when you create your volunteer profile at number 4hosea.org, you will be receiving emails. And then you can register if you can come during the week, during the day, up until 6 p.m. That's very much needed. And on Thanksgiving Day, for whatever slots are left. We're asking people to use our Cash App, which is $HOSEAHELPS, $Hosea Help, to help us purchase food to put in those boxes. Purchasing bulk amounts of food, as you can imagine, is very difficult right now, because the stores are trying to hold on to everything that they have, and they're picking and choosing who they sell to. As we get pallets of food, so we go in and get 24 pallets of food at one time, because we are the largest African American run food bank in the region. So it's been challenging for us to purchase the food that we need. So to have the money to do that is very important.
And that's Cash App, $Hosea Helps, H-O-S-E-A. H-E-L-P-S.
Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned about the face of homelessness and how it has changed. And, you know, we know in Atlanta, the average age of a homeless person is 9. What do you want our listeners to know about Hosea Helps clients that they just may not be aware of?
Well, I think that they don't think they're working. I think that one of the major misnomers is that people who go to food banks or people who come to us for rent assistance, which right now, Kipling, we have a program where people in the city of Atlanta zip code can get up to $5,000 per family if they're behind on their rent or their mortgage or have their utilities. Late on their utilities. So we're doing a lot of rent assistance and mortgage assistance. But these are working families. These are not people that many of them are unemployed, but many of them are working, not able to make a living wage, making $8 or $9 an hour, not able to. Some of them have two jobs and still not able to meet the need. That is one misnomer. I think another misnomer is that this is primarily Black people, when in our line, we have a good 30% Latino American people, and we also have white folks coming through the line. So it's a diverse, talk about diversity. This is diversity in need, where classism trumps racism in our business. which is mankind is our business. So at Hosea Helps, we want people to know that it could be someone sitting beside you at work who goes home to no food or who's barely making it. So they may dress like they're okay, but you just can never tell. And so we don't want these stereotypes to continue.
So there's a diversity in need that you're finding that I guess most people probably think it would only be African Americans.
Yes. So, you know, when we went out to, because we have various community partners that open the gateway for us to enter these communities. And so when we went out to the Latino American community last Saturday, we were out there all day. People just kept coming. The need was so great because, Kipling, they don't come out of their neighborhood to come to us. Many reasons, many of them are worried about deportation or worried about, you know, their citizenship and the immigration that is in place right now. The immigration process is brutal. Separating mothers from children and separating wives and husbands. So they tend to stay very insular. So what we do is something named Hosea on the Move, where we will pack up our 24-foot truck full of food boxes and PPE supplies and pull up into an apartment complex and stay there all day distributing food and supplies, as well as clothing and whatever items we have at our warehouse. What we're asking people to do is, if you want to bring blankets, if you want to do a drive and bring socks, hats, gloves, or thermal underwear, it has to be new now. It can't be slightly used. It has to be brand new with the tag on it. Because of COVID. So that's another way that COVID has impacted our organization, in that we can only receive new clothing or new unwrapped toys for our children's Christmas party in December. So we're seeing every race. We're seeing people who have never been in line before. And then we also have to remember our senior citizens, who are in these high rises and afraid to come out because of COVID and don't even allow visitors. So we're taking food to, say, for example, we'll take it to 200 plates of food to one person in that senior's high rise, and then they will have the responsibility of distributing those plates throughout the high rise. And we're already getting phone calls from high rises saying, please don't forget us. We need food over here. We need food over there. And we're just trying to meet as many needs as we can. It's extremely difficult, though.
Miss Omalami, if you could dream for a minute and, you know, money wasn't an object, what would Hosea Helps be doing differently?
Oh, but I can tell you, my dream is to have housing. Because the lack of affordable housing is an existential threat to our community. The way that Atlanta is going, no one will be able to afford to live inside the 285. And for people that don't know, Atlanta's surrounded by this circular highway called 285. And there are two Atlantas. There's the Atlanta inside 285, and then there's the Atlanta outside the 285. My dream is to be able to build affordable housing. And prior to, say, one- or two-bedroom apartments, we need rooming houses even to get some of our people off the streets living in tent cities in downtown Atlanta. And, you know, it's embarrassing to some people that live here to hear me on an interview saying that the homeless tent cities in Atlanta are growing. But I'm only stating a fact. If you drive down Trinity, right there in front of City Hall and make a left on Pryor, you'll see tent cities like you've never seen before downtown. But many of those people need to be put into a rooming house. And so since we have already, we are subject matter experts at providing the wraparound services for a rooming house or an apartment complex, then I would go in that direction if money was no object. I'd be buying land and building.
I think that is a wonderful idea. And what you said was so important. The lack of affordable housing is an existential problem in our community. We're talking with Elizabeth Omalami from Hosea Helps this weekend before Thanksgiving and their program to provide food and PPE to people that are in need. Once again, Ms. Omalami, can you tell our listeners how to get involved? You go to your website, the number 4, Hosea Helps, and then what do they do?
Yes, so go to our website, number 4, HOSEA.org. Click on volunteer. Well, first, I hope you'll click on donate. and any amount will help. You know, we always say that, you know, $1,005 donations grows into something that we can really do something with. Click on donate, give what you can. Click on volunteer at number 4, HOSEA.org, and create a volunteer profile for yourself. Now, I just want people to know also that our volunteers are fully covered in PPE equipment. They will have gloves, gowns, face shields, just the whole nine yards. and we will be practicing all of the CDC guidelines. So just, you know, post this on your social media. You know, Hosea Helps needs your help to help others. And now people are waiting for something from Washington. They're waiting for another stimulus. I just don't see it coming before the end of the year. So nonprofits like us at Hosea Helps are needed more than ever. And we can't do what we do without the volunteers who are needed starting today, every day, straight through, you know, to the end of the year, and the donors. And many of our donors are for sororities or fraternities or, you know, churches, different groups that give what they can. Well, whatever you give is a blessing.
Well, we know that during the WCLK's upcoming year-end on-air fundraiser, our pledge drive that's coming up, WCLK supporters can forego, you know, a premium item for their donation, and that premium item cost would definitely be donated to Hosea Helps. So can you tell us, you know, the folks who do that, what happens to that money?
Well, you know, we have a plan that we use with the donations from WCLK, and it goes right into paying case managers to give out the rent assistance and the utility assistance, because most of the grants that we get go straight through us to the client, whether it's help with the mortgage that we have right now or, you know, help with the rent. And all of that information is on our website if you need that help. But what you can't get is the operational support. The operational dollars are very hard to get, as I'm sure you know, with you being there at WCLK. So we have to keep our doors open, and we've been blessed. We didn't have to lay off anyone. We've been open March. We never did close, serving people when they had nowhere else to go because many other places did close. So we're pressing on through this season of our lives, giving to others and giving every day.
You mentioned that this is the 50th anniversary of Hosea Helps. It was started in 1970 by Hosea Williams, your dad. He passed away 20 years ago this week. Could you tell us just a little bit about Hosea Williams, the dad, the father, you know, not the field general for the civil rights movement or the leader of, you know, Hosea Feeds the Hungry? Can you tell us a little bit about your dad?
Oh, wow. Just a man who was driven. I mean, he was the ultimate workaholic. You know, I don't remember us ever going on a vacation as a family. In all the years, and I'm over 50. And of course, he died 20 years ago. We celebrated his remembrance for him at the Lincoln Cemetery on Monday. He was driven. He would get up and just work until the middle of the night. And he slept very little, slept about 3 hours. And you know, Jose Williams was a chemist. He was a chemist. He was the first black chemist to be hired by the United States Department of Agriculture. So he didn't come into this as a civil rights leader. He was providing for his family, got his chemist degree at Morris Brown College, and was writing formulations for green cleaning supplies before green was a buzzword. He loved his family, and so he felt that the sacrifice he was making by not being with us as a father and working for what he called freedom was worth it. So that he missed those family vacations. He missed those sitting down playing board games with your kids or going over the homework with them or, you know, and he was always out in some movement at some town, from Cicero in the north to Alabama and Florida in the south. So, but I do know that he gave what he gave because he loved his family and he loved people. He wore the blue jean overall that was like his uniform. Street, any family, any woman would know that he was touchable, that he never looked down on them. He never brought shame to them for needing help. He understood how hard it was to come up and as they say, lift yourself up by your own bootstrap. Well, if you don't have any boots, how can you lift yourself? If you don't have the opportunities for decent education, and a housing that provides what your family needs, food, their basic needs aren't met, then it's just horrible trying to make it without help. Now, so I loved him because he loved people.
And now you mentioned that he was a scientist, he was a chemist. Do you think he could imagine what's happening in our country during this 21st century where the scientists are being disregarded?
Yes. I think he would just be horrified that, you know, because this country is split right down the middle. And we saw that during the election. We saw that big swath of red coming straight down the middle of the country. I think he would be horrified if he was in power, got that power. I think that he would also look for classism. So even though Lester Maddox was an ex-Klansman, when he was governor of the state of Georgia, Hosea Williams went to meet with him about policies that affected poor people. And so when Lester Maddox pushed for legislation that helped poor white folks, it automatically spill over into other races. So they had a relationship, because suddenly it was not about racism. It was about classism. And so he didn't care who he was partnering with if it pushed his agenda forward, which was always to take care of the least of these.
Ms. Omalami, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. I know this is your busy, busy time, and I'm going to let everyone know again, the website is the number 4hosea, HOSEA.org, and the Cash App is $HoseaHelps.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for what you're doing and continue to do for our community.
Well, I want to thank you and WCLK for being our consistent partners through the years, understanding and seeing us and supporting us. Thank you so much.
I'm Kipling Primus, your host for The Local Take. Thank you for listening. I want to take a minute to remind everyone that Medicare open enrollment ends on December 7th. Programming on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is made possible in part by the Department of Health and Human Services, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Medicare plans change from year to year. In this current enrollment period, it pays to compare your current coverage with all the choices available for 2021. A different plan with different costs and benefits could save money or increase your benefit options. Open enrollment ends on Monday, December 7th. For more information, go to medicare.gov or you can call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-633-4227. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. While I'll be home with limited family, I'll be thinking of future hugs and smiles. Stay safe, people, and we'll celebrate in person soon. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK.
The Local Take with Kipling Primus on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is produced by Kipling Primus, Jami Wellman, and Rob Maynard for WCLK. If you have comments about today's program or suggestions for future programs, you can leave a voicemail at 404-880-6211 or email kiplinprimus@gmail.com. You can listen to these interviews on demand at wclk.com or via the WCLK app. Thanks for listening.